Ani,
Ani,
collecting,
collecting.
Kaila,
Kaila,
compiled,
compiled.
Bhakti Granta,
Bhakti Granta,
of books on devotional service.
Sara,
the essence.
Yes.
Mudha,
rascals.
Adamajanere,
and fallen souls.
Tenho,
they.
Kurila,
Nishtara,
delivered. Translation. Both Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami brought various scriptures to Vrindavan and collected the essence of these by compiling many scriptures on devotional service. In this way, they delivered all rascals and fallen souls. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Srinivas Acharya has sung, Nana Shastra Vicharinaika Nipuno Sadharma Samstapako Lokanam Hitakarino Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanyakaro Radha Krishna Pararavinda Bhajanam Nandena Mataliko Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yago Shri Jiva Gopalako. The six Goswamis, under the direction of Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami, studied various Vedic literatures and picked up the essence of them, the devotional service of the Lord. This means that all the Goswamis wrote many scriptures on devotional service with the support of Vedic literature. Devotional service is not a sentimental activity. The essence of Vedic knowledge is devotional service, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa Sarvair Aham Eva Vedyaha, 15:15. All the Vedic literature aims at understanding Krishna, and how to understand Krishna through devotional service has been explained by Srila Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis with evidence from Vedic literatures. They have put it so nicely that even a rascal or first-class fool can be delivered by devotional service under the guidance of the Goswamis. Nana Shastra Anikoila Bhakti Granta Sar Buddha Adama Janere Tenho Karila Nishtar Oma Gyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Minutam Jena Tasmai Shri Rave Namaha. Well, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered his followers, especially Rupa and Sanatan, to write books on the science of devotional service. Although he himself only left us 8 verses, Shikshastakam, that he actually wrote. We don't have any other writings of Lord Chaitanya, but he empowered his followers to write books, a task which is going on down to the present day. So this is in our line, that the Vaishnavas should study the scriptures, Vaishnava scriptures, the Vedas primarily, and then expand on that. Writing books does not mean that one comes up with some new philosophies. He's going to present something different now, as is customary. We find so many people writing books. The library is full of books, different theories, new ideas, new discoveries. There's nothing new when it comes to transcendental knowledge, because that knowledge is eternal, and it is coming from the perfect source, so it can't be improved upon. But we may realize more as we proceed in devotional service, and whatever we realize, we may write down, or we may present that to others for the benefit of the mudhas and adama janere, which nicely describes our own position. The six Goswamis wrote books to save these persons, and we are in that category. We have been delivered by the mercy of the six Goswamis. Therefore, we are also called Rupanugas, followers of Rupa Goswami. Bhakti Siddhanta, Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as well as Srila Prabhupada, considered themselves very staunch followers of Rupa Goswami. Because Rupa Goswami was very strict, and he outlined very clearly what was acceptable in terms of devotional service and what was not acceptable. And so the Vaishnavs from after his time have considered that he's the real Acharya. In fact, Srila Prabhupada asked that his university, on several occasions, he wrote that he wanted to establish a Vaishnava university, and he asked that it be named Rupanuga Vidyapit. Vidyapit means university, and Rupanuga means, of course, followers of Rupa Goswami. So, based on the conclusions of Rupa Goswami, he wanted a university established. That's how powerful and how important Rupa Goswami is. So, Rupa and Sanatan, they studied many scriptures, Nana Shastra, Charanaika Nipano, Sadharma Sangstapako, same point, that after studying all these scriptures, they took the essence and then they presented it again, the essence, for the benefit of all the fallen souls and the rascals in this material world. Lokanam hitakarano, for the benefit of all the, out of mercy for the world, for the living entities. But this is the reason Vaishnavs preach. Sometimes people say, why do you preach? Why don't you just keep it for yourself? But the reason that Vaishnavs preach is because of compassion, karuna. They feel paradukaduki. They feel pain at seeing the miseries of others. And they know how miserable everyone is in the material world. They don't go, they don't judge simply by the superficial painted smiles on the faces of the people when they're trying to enjoy sense gratification. They don't consider that real pleasure. Rather, they consider those so-called smiles and different expressions as more like those seen on a person who's being electrocuted. He may make all kinds of motions with his face, and some of them you could interpret, oh, there he looks happy for a moment. Look at that one, he's smiling. Actually, oh, there he's feeling some ecstasy. But a more powerful person will say, no, it's not at all that he's feeling ecstasy or happiness or contentment or, no, actually, look, he's being electrocuted. He's feeling horrible torture. But it's misinterpreted. So similarly, the people of the world misinterpret what is real happiness, but a devotee knows that they're being electrocuted. Because without Krishna consciousness, one is simply dying. There's no real life. His life is being destroyed. So the expressions that he makes, a devotee doesn't take them as happiness. And that's not so easy, because when we go out in Sankirtan and we see the sense enjoyers, they really make a good show, as if they're happy. And we are conditioned, because we also were part of that group not so long ago. So it's easy to think that maybe there is some pleasure. Srila Prabhupada warned the sannyasis. He said, so now after you take sannyas, you should not think when you go And you see some very wealthy person or some man with a nice, beautiful wife, you shouldn't think, well, I also could have a nice wife, like, or I used to have a wife, or I could get some money and I could enjoy like this. One should not take sannyas unless he's confident that he will not be able to be influenced. The Vaishnavas preach out of mercy, out of kindness, compassion for the fallen souls. And it's understandable that not everyone will appreciate. They won't understand that they need mercy. It's like when a person who's having hallucinations or different kinds of aberrations of the mind, when he's brought to the doctor tries to give him some medicine, but the patient thinks that he's perfectly well and he can't understand why the doctor is trying to give him medicine, and he may even fight the doctor, the person who's trying to help him. In the same way, the foolish persons, they may fight the devotees, thinking that, why are you trying to help me? I don't need help, you need help. And therefore they try to employ helping the devotees by deprogramming them and giving them different kinds of hospitalization programs. Some countries, depending on the country, they have different ways of trying to help the devotees getting over this foolishness. So Prabhupada wrote that little booklet, Who is Crazy? Because they think the devotees are crazy, and the devotees know that they're actually crazy. And there's this tug of war going on. Who's actually crazy? By writing these books and by distributing these books of the Goswamis, the fallen conditioned souls are given a chance to get out of this material entanglement. And by writing the books, actually, the philosophy gets even sweeter. Saram, saram. Saram means essence. So it becomes sweeter. As we know, Shukadev Goswami, the example of the Shuka, the parrot, when the parrot touches the fruit with his beak, it becomes sweeter. Similarly, when the pure devotees present Krishna consciousness again, then it just gets better. It gets even sweeter. That is the mercy of Krishna, that he allows himself and knowledge about him to increase, to become more enhanced when the devotees handle him. Well, Krishna is very kind, a person. He's very kind to his devotees, and he wants them to be satisfied. So one way he satisfies them is that when they speak about him, it gets sweeter. He arranges for the message to get sweeter. So they become, enlivened that, wow, this message keeps getting sweeter, and that the others who hear it, they're enjoying it more, they're relishing it. And that the devotees can have compassion upon their fellow living entities. This is Krishna's arrangement. Because sometimes people say, why don't you do something for the rest of the world? You're just sitting in your monasteries and chanting and taking care of your own. But what about the world? Why don't you do something for the world? Why don't you feed people? Why don't you open a hospital? But actually, the best feeding program is to distribute Krishna prasadam, and the devotees do that as much as possible. That's one thing. And as far as opening hospitals, well, that's what our centers are. They're hospitals. Spiritual hospitals, and people can come who have the skin disease, who are mistakenly thinking that they're this body, mental disturbances, intellectual disturbances, all these things. They can come to the hospital and get cured by proper diet and medicine. And the medicine, Enechio Shadi Maya Nashibara Lagi Hari Nama Mahamantra Lao Tumi Magi. The medicine is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We administer that, the doctors. We're actually doctors and maybe assistant interns and what have you. But that's our position. We have been trained by the great transcendental physician, Srila Prabhupada, and how to administer the medicine. So now we're also administering the same medicine that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, the same philosophy, and it's always applicable. It's not that it becomes obsolete with time. In the material world, everything is affected by the time factor. Everything is broken apart, destroyed. But transcendental knowledge is not affected because it's spiritual. And Krishna's instructions are as applicable now as they ever were. Just like he said, I instructed this science to the sun god, Vivishwan, millions of years ago. And that science was passed down to Manu, to Ikshvaku. And now Krishna said, I'm giving it to you again, Arjuna. That science today is told by me to you because you're my friend. Bhaktosime sakacheti rahasyam yetarutamo. I'm giving you this most secret, confidential knowledge because you're my devotee as well as my friend. That is the difference between material knowledge, which is always subject to deficiencies and changing. Oh, we discovered something new and then the former books have to be taken off the shelves. We don't find that with Bhagavad Gita. It doesn't require any improvements, any changes. But still the Vaishnava's right. Not to try to improve. Once there was one devotee who thought that he could improve upon the commentary of Srila Sridhar Swami, the original commentator of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he had written his commentary and he presented it to Lord Chaitanya and he said, actually, I've made some improvements. Sridhar Swami didn't quite grasp everything so perfectly. Now I've improved. This is much better. And Lord Chaitanya immediately rejected, said, I don't accept that. Anyone who doesn't accept the Swami is basically a prostitute. He was very strong. So he established that the previous Acharya's version should be accepted. We should not try to change it. But still, we can preach. Otherwise, we would just put on tapes of the predecessors or just read what they have said. But Srila Prabhupada showed, not only by his own preaching, because he didn't speak so much about his Guru Maharaj's works, but actually if we take a close look at Srila Prabhupada's words and those words of Bhaktisiddhanta, we see they're identical. Same thing. Once he did say, "And I'm not speaking anything to you that I have not heard from my Guru Maharaj." But he put it in his own words. He presented the same thing in his, according to his ability to speak and his presentation according to time and circumstance. So that way the message continues and becomes even more transcendental. When Srila Prabhupada was in New York in the first center, 26 Second Avenue, he was there for several months, and the new devotees, they were just starting to relish being in Krishna consciousness and hearing from Swamiji, they called him then, who was giving all the lectures. Every day he would lecture, and if he wasn't there, no one would speak. He was the only one who could speak. And then he decided to go to San Francisco, and then he told them, so now you can also speak. This was the first. They had no idea that anyone else could speak. But he told them, you just read something and then you explain what you heard from me. And they did that and they found that it worked. It was enlivening. They actually got the words. Krishna gave them the intelligence. Tadami bodhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te tesham satata yuktanam. Because they were actually engaged in devotional service, Krishna empowered them to speak nicely. And they were able to speak parampara. They didn't have to speculate. It's not that to be a good speaker, we have to come up with some new speculation, my own theory. No, we can speak what Krishna has spoken, what all the acharyas have spoken, and that will be very interesting to the public. Srila Prabhupada didn't pander to the the desires of an audience, as many professional reciters do. There are many professionals who will give a Bhagavat Saptaha, and of course they generally like to go to the 10th canto, to the chapter on Krishna with the gopis and Rasa Leela, because they know that the audience likes the discussions about boys and girls dancing together, and they take it like that. But Srila Prabhupada didn't compromise. He just presented everything very scholarly, the philosophy, and he depended upon Krishna to change their hearts. He said in his poem while he was coming over on the boat, he said, "I have no power by myself, but I know that it is your desire to save them, to change their hearts. So I will simply present the same message, and by your grace, they will become affected." So similarly, we should not think ourselves good preachers or capable of changing anyone's heart. But if we present the message faithfully, then that is we've done our duty. And then the rest is up to Krishna and the living entity. They have their free will, and Krishna's in the heart. That's our responsibility. Parampara. When we present some talk or some philosophy, as long as it's parampara, the style is not so important, the charisma is not so important. If someone has charisma, then he can use that in Krishna's service also. And if he doesn't have charisma, then that's all right. It doesn't matter. He doesn't have to go to charisma school to be able to, to have some impact on an audience. It's the words, it's the Krishna Katha itself. Those words that glorify Krishna, they have potency when presented in parampara by one who's following the principles of Krishna consciousness. So, we are very interested to hear the writings of the Goswamis. Of course, some of them are very high level, dealing with topics which may be beyond our present capabilities to understand, in discussing the more intimate pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. So that may not be preferable for us to study right now, but especially nectar devotion has been given by Srila Prabhupada. And, that is the primary book, on the guidebook for devotional service. And we appreciate that these Goswami texts are there, but they're not necessarily, some of them are not appropriate to be presented for the public who's not so advanced in spiritual life. Bhagavad Gita is the main philosophical text. And then Srimad Bhagavatam is the graduate study, and then Chaitanya Charitamrita, the postgraduate study. So in this way, we can proceed, and we can guide those who are interested in the science of devotional service. And we can pray for the mercy of the Goswamis to give us transcendental knowledge and renunciation. And we should also try to preach. The more we preach the same message, the more we become advanced. It's a fact. Just by preaching, you will make spiritual advancement. So there is a direct connection there. Because why? Because Krishna says that there's no one more dear to me than he who teaches this science to others. He wants that. So to our whatever capacity we have to preach, to teach others, we should try our best, and that will be acceptable by Krishna. So I'll stop here. Thank you. If there are any questions, or can try to discuss.
Yeah, how do you develop a compassion, actually? Because when I'm speaking, I don't feel actually compassion.
Compassion is a natural, it's a natural progression as one advances in devotional service. In the beginning, as you're saying, we're more concerned with saving ourselves. And that's good. We have to save ourselves first. Prabhupada wrote that to one disciple who was discussing about broad plans for distribution of literature and, you know, taking over the world. And Prabhupada always appreciated that. But in this particular case, he said, yes, but you should always remember you have to save yourself first. If many people are in a room and their hands are all tied, you might like to help them untie their hands. But if your hands are also tied, then you're in the same position. So first we have to become free. Then we can free others. So make sure that you're firmly fixed. Then gradually you'll be engaged in assisting the preaching work. Just like when you go out, you've distributed literature. You know, don't you enjoy giving out literature? That's compassion. Why do you enjoy giving out literature? Giving them, yes, it's giving them knowledge and bliss. You're giving them something valuable. And you know it's valuable because you've read the books and you've practiced it, so you know how nice it is. So naturally you want to help others. Everyone likes to help others. So compassion's already there, and it will increase more and more.
Sometimes we are just trying to repeat the words we heard or read, but sometimes we're trying also to speak in our own words. So what is better, at least on the beginning stage?
Yes, you can speak. Srila Prabhupada explains that you can take what you have heard and try to assimilate it and then present it in your own words. But a new meaning should not be screwed out, as he put it. Should not screw out any new meanings or different interpretations. But you can present it in your own words. Just like, let's say you hear the teaching in English, but then there's a whole group of people that speak a different language that you happen to speak. I don't know, some Yugoslavian language or something. So then, you can take what you've heard and translate it so that they'll be able to understand. Of course, that kind of translation has to be, when translating the books in that way, has to be verbatim, without any change. But in terms of preaching, you can preach basically the same idea in your own words. As long as you're careful not to change it, that's fine.
Is it possible to make many jokes about how stupid or crazy the karmis are, and at the same time be compassionate?
Yes. Because they are crazy and foolish. And also, yes, we can be compassionate by trying to help them stop being foolish. Of course, it shouldn't be the jokes and the criticisms should not be in a condescending way. You know what condescending means? Or in a envious way or a belligerent way, but actually a compassionate way, a loving way. And Prabhupada used that. He used to joke about, you know, the foolishness of the materialists so many times. And he made us laugh and realize that we were those foolish persons. So in a very nice, gentle way, he preached to us and made us laugh at our foolishness, and that way we changed. So if you're going to joke with them, then you have to have a lot of compassion. You really want to save them, and you're willing to extend your hand to them. Not that you just joke with them, and then they say, well, how can you help me? You throw them away or just criticize them. That will not be sufficient. But if you're willing to extend your hand and help them, then you may also do that. Make some jokes. There's a story in Chaitanya Charitamrita of Gopinath Acharya, the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was always joking and criticizing his brother-in-law, even though he was a great scholar. But it was with love. He really had compassion for him. But he had to point out, he said, "Oh, my brother, you're just so dry. You're like a dry oil cake." You can't understand that Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is right standing before you, and you're thinking you're going to try to change his, you're going to try to reinitiate him into a different sannyas ashram. What a fool you are. And his brother was, Sarvabhauma was the greatest logic. What? And then he went on and on. So because it was with love and care, and based on real knowledge and not envy, it had effect.
I heard somewhere that it may take a very long time for us to save ourselves before we actually start preaching. But preaching is immediate need, so how to wait?
Yeah, simultaneously, you begin, you take care of yourself, and then gradually when you get a little strength, then you can start preaching also. And that will make you even stronger. Of course, you don't try something too daring. If you try to do something beyond your capacity, then you may have a relapse. Just like in the hospital, when someone comes in and has some disease. So the doctor treats the disease, say, stay in bed, that's it, don't go out for some time. Then after a while, I said, now you can get up and do some walking inside the building. So then he gets to walk inside. And then they say, okay, now you can go outside in the hospital yard and you can take a walk. Or you can take a walk around the hospital gradually. He doesn't let him out immediately. If he goes out and immediately starts running marathon races, he may have a relapse. So gradually, the expert spiritual master, he knows how much we're ready for. And he'll engage us just in the amount we need. Not too much, not too little. Sometimes we may think, oh, I don't need so much. He's engaging me more than I need. This is more of a challenge. This is too much. But no, he knows. No, this is good for you. I feel weak. No, this will make you strong. And sometimes you may think, I'm going to go and open a center in Bermuda, by myself or something. And you may say, no, that's not so good. Better you stay with the devotees for some time, and then later we'll see. So we have to have faith that the Guru knows how to engage us according to our strength.
So sometimes there's some talk that outside of ISKCON there's some devotees who are more advanced than our devotees in ISKCON. But I was thinking that if that would be true, then our ISKCON or our GBC would, give them, would go to them for advice and so forth. So we see that we don't really. So it's concluded that, is it right to conclude that there's no one outside of ISKCON who's actually purely developed in this?
Did everyone hear the question? Yes? Or no? Yes, everyone heard the question. Okay. So, I would say that based on Srila Prabhupada's guidance, because he's our, we can clearly say that Srila Prabhupada is empowered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, right? In Bhaktisiddhanta. I think everyone would agree on that he took it to every corner of the world. He traveled on every continent. He distributed books. I mean, he's definitely an empowered representative of the six Goswamis and Lord Chaitanya. And he knows how Krishna consciousness will best be propagated. That's clear. Nobody's ever done on a level that he's done. This is a fact. It's not really a kind of a subjective opinion, but this is fact. Never have so many books been distributed. Never have so many persons outside of India taken to Krishna consciousness, on and on, so many things. The center has been established. So, in his last days, he delineated how he wanted his movement, or shall we say, Lord Chaitanya's movement, how he thought it would best be continued. And he established ISKCON solely and wholly for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness, Lord Chaitanya's movement. He said it is a branch of the Chaitanya tree. He didn't say it's the whole tree. He said it's a major branch. So we can take his words as he said them. It's a major branch. We happen to be in that branch, and therefore everything that we need, we're getting from the trunk. We're getting energized. You know, the trunk is Lord Chaitanya Nityananda. These are the trunks of the tree, the Chaitanya tree. So we're getting all the nourishment we need. And we see that on our branch, there's flowers, there's fruits, there's leaves, it's sort of branches, twigs. It's all prospering. Okay. So that means we're getting the nourishment we need. Krishna consciousness is flourishing. People are becoming actually God conscious. They're actually going back to Godhead. We see that it works. Some of our devotees are you know, leaving their bodies. They're getting older. And we see that they're leaving their bodies in pure, perfect Krishna consciousness. Not lamenting, oh, what about my, you know, bank balance and what about my crying. They're totally ready to go back to Krishna. And they're thinking of Krishna. Yam yam bhapi smaram bhavam jajitante kalevaram. Krishna says, if you, whatever you think of, at the time of death, you go there. So we're seeing that our devotees are actually well-trained. They're equipped. They're facing death without being disturbed and without being in anxiety and bewildered. And they're preparing themselves to go back to Godhead. They're giving their lives every second of the day to Krishna's service. This is not an ordinary thing. They're not concerned about material things. You can offer an advanced devotee, would you like some money? Sometimes their parents say, I'll give you $1 million if you give up this. The devotees say, no, I'm not interested in $1 million. I'd rather chant Hare Krishna. And so, this is amazing. Who can do this? So it means that the potency is there. You see, devotees are writing books, and the Siddhanta is correct. The movement is expanding. This is a sign. It's not by accident that so many persons in Eastern Europe are becoming Krishna conscious. This is not an accident. It's not a fluke that people are becoming pure Vaishnavas. It's not a fluke. They said that with Prabhupada too. They said, oh, these Westerners, yes, Bhaktivedanta Swami, he was a good businessman. So he was able to, you know, they're also business-minded, and he was a good businessman. So therefore, the combination of business, and therefore, they tried to write it off as all business. But it's not business. It's not anything material. To change the heart of Malechas and Yavanas is the most difficult thing. There's nothing more difficult than that. Sometimes people would say, why don't you show some magic to Srila Prabhupada? He said, my magic is, look, I'm transforming the hearts of these Malechas. Isn't that magic? I don't have to show any other magic. That's the real magic. And that magic is continuing. Therefore, we can conclude that the potency to spread Krishna consciousness has not been lost with the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada, but rather it has been transferred to his sincere followers. And he said that. When they asked him who will be the predecessor, oh, not predecessor, what is the word? After? Successor. Who will be your successor? He said, anyone who strictly follows my instructions. He will be. He will get the potency, or she will get the potency to carry on. And we see it's happening. So therefore, since Srila Prabhupada designated that future initiations within this movement would be handled by his own disciples under the auspices of the GBC, we accept that. That's sufficient for us. We don't need to restlessly go and seek out something else. We're satisfied with the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. We know that he is very thorough. Anyone who has studied Srila Prabhupada's books or his management systems that he set up, see, Prabhupada's very thorough, the way he would establish. I remember when he was in Los Angeles, when I first joined, He was setting up Los Angeles as his world headquarters, and he was establishing the system, the every detail of the program. He was there, and at one point he made a major change in the schedule. He said, "Now we must establish Mangalarti, because at that time devotees didn't attend Mangalarti; only the pujari attended, because we were out doing Harinam till midnight every night." So we were getting up at 6 in the morning, and you know, then we'd come to class and things like that, but we didn't get up for Mangalarti, only the pujari got up. And then Srila Prabhupada said, "Now we are going to establish Mangalarti for all the devotees." So we started going to bed earlier, getting up before 4 o'clock and attending Mangalarti. Then he wanted every center in the movement to follow the same system. So Srila Prabhupada's thoroughness and his attention to details was extraordinary. Therefore, we should not assume it would be quite out of character for Srila Prabhupada to have overlooked something as important as how initiations should continue for spreading the Sankirtan movement. And he didn't overlook it, and he arranged for it to be done through his movement, through ISKCON. So that's sufficient. And if as you said, if it's decided by the GBC that some other Vaishnava is also qualified and will present things as Srila Prabhupada wanted, then he may be accepted. But that is up to the GBC, and we have confidence in the way Prabhupada established it. In other words, we don't need to go beyond that and try to make comparative studies on who's more advanced in this and that. That's not our... Prabhupada didn't want us to do that.
But it's automatically done.
No.
By...
No, it's not automatically done. Only if we speculate, it becomes done. Yeah, but in other words, for example, I'll give you a practical example. Srila Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, had a brother, Lalit Prasad, who was still living during the time when Prabhupada was here, and we were all in the movement. And Lalit Prasad, Prabhupada said we should treat him with the utmost respect. We should offer obeisances, everything respectful. And we were working with him and trying, he wanted to present some of Bhaktivinod Thakur's works for us to photograph and keep for posterity. And Srila Prabhupada was very eager to get these works. So he was having the devotees go and associate with him. Then at a certain point, Srila Prabhupada said, "So now we should not associate." He said that Lalit Prasad Prabhu has a grudge against my Guru Maharaj. There's some grudge there. They're brothers. So naturally there may be some little disagreement. And he said, "And even though it's transcendental, you will not be able to understand that it's transcendental, and you'll commit some offense. So better do not associate, but don't criticize either." So in other words, we can hold both in abeyance. We don't criticize, but we also don't associate. That way, we don't have to conclude, "Oh, I'm not supposed to associate because there's some deficiency." See, that would be disobeying the other instruction. In other words, we're content to take the instructions as it is. Don't associate, also don't criticize. That means I go on with my Krishna consciousness without associating, without criticizing. In other words, I don't need to try to formulate a conclusion based on the information given. It's not required. If it were required, he would have given it, the conclusion, but he didn't. He just gave us that instruction. So a devotee is satisfied to accept what his Guru Maharaj has given, and he doesn't have to go beyond that. It's like the example of that foolish disciple, Ramachandra Puri. His Guru Maharaj was leaving the world, Madhavendra Puri, and he was calling out, "Oh, my Lord, I could not come to Mathura. I'm so fallen, so unfortunate." And the foolish disciple thought, "Well, why don't you just remember Brahman? Why are you lamenting?" In other words, he was not able to understand his spiritual master's sentiments. And he tried to come to some conclusion. Lamentation? The way to get over lamentation is realize that, you know, you're Brahman and, you know, you're not the body. He wasn't able to understand it. So when Srila Prabhupada has given us these instructions, we don't have to try to formulate a conclusion artificially. Okay? Is that all right?
Well, if you're not allowed to associate, that means there's something deficient.
Not necessarily.
Why is it wrong to criticize?
Because Prabhupada said at the same time that he gave the reason why we shouldn't associate, because we might then commit offenses. When Srila Prabhupada didn't acknowledge necessarily that it was a deficiency, at least to us, so we're not going to assume something more than he told us. He didn't tell us there was necessarily a deficiency, at least on that occasion. And the general instruction, there may be some other specifics where he pointed out certain deficiencies, but that's not the point I'm making now. The point I'm making now is the general advice that we should be satisfied to associate with sadhus that are within ISKCON, okay? that have been trained by Srila Prabhupada. That doesn't mean we should be disrespectful to Vaishnavas that are not in ISKCON. We should be respectful to them also, but not intimately associate and not go to them for initiation, because Prabhupada wanted us to take initiation within ISKCON. That's why he established it this way. Beyond that, we're getting into waters that are somewhat speculative. If we go beyond that, then it starts, well, it's my opinion, I think, and perhaps, and he must have, and then it gets all, then it becomes very inconclusive, and we're not on firm ground. But within that, we're on firm ground. Our position is very secure then. No offenses, offering respects to all living entities, especially Vaishnavas, showing proper Vaishnava etiquette, but not intimately associating. Well, we cannot force the spiritual master to necessarily... Well, first of all, he said, I already mentioned what the exact reason was. So the exact reason is that we wouldn't understand. We have to be willing to accept that. We have to be humble enough and willing to accept that we may not be able to understand certain things. And that's fine. Just like when the parents tell a child, now don't... don't do this because it's very dangerous. So they may not go into all the details at the particular time, why, what type of electrocution you'll get if you touch that wire, and, you'll get 7,862 volts of, this kind of, and what'll happen is the blood within your body will become electrified, then it will destroy the white corpuscles, and it may not be necessary to go into all the details of what will happen to you and why it will happen and how long. The parent tells the child, don't touch this wire because it will electrocute you and you'll die. That should be sufficient if the child is sensible. Now, more may come later. More may be revealed as required. But that should be enough for the obedient child. He should know that my parents, they're my well-wishers. They're not going to tell me something that's bad for me. And if they think that it's not necessary for me to know all the details, then I should accept that also. In the meantime, maybe it'll be revealed to me in due course of time, if my spiritual master wishes or if Krishna wishes. Patience. Utsaha nisya daya. One has to be patient also. Everything will come in due course of time. Thank you. It's a very nice question. Brought out some nice points. Anything else?
If we are not allowed to associate with God brothers of Prabhupada, does it mean also that we cannot associate with the disciples of them?
You can check with your Guru Maharaj. You can consult with your spiritual master on these are some details. I'm giving just general ideas that Srila Prabhupada, how he set up his ISKCON and how he wanted us to proceed. As far as the details and how much to associate and how little, that you can discuss with your Guru Maharaj or your other authorities within ISKCON, your GBC. We have a whole system for guiding the devotees in these matters. And sometimes, of course, that is adjusted and it's being worked on, because it's not an easy subject. we're not dealing with an easy subject. But we should be satisfied to follow along with the guidance given by our authorities in this matter, because we should expect and that they are also advanced, and they will be able to properly determine what will be healthy for the devotees and Krishna consciousness. We should have confidence and faith.
It seems that without looking for any deficiency in any Gaudiya Bhoya Mat leaders, or, but in appreciating the service they are doing, that at the same time we are also appreciative of Srila Prabhupada, and that Srila Prabhupada stands out, right, in his achievements. That like in terms of his achievements and the very nice arrangements that he made for devotees, in terms of a philosophy, in terms of a shelter, temples, in terms of a service, that he's just, that no one did such a thing. And that's then, in that way, he stands out unique in a very complete way. So, in terms of appreciation, we can appreciate Prabhupada more, maybe, than even those who are outside, also bona fide Vaishnavas. And therefore, we gladly take shelter of Prabhupada and Prabhupada's movement. Because, it's mentioned also in Lilamrita, when Prabhupada at one point went to India, some disciples mentioned, maybe one of your godbrothers can come. And Prabhupada said, if they would come and speak one word different from me, there would be confusion. So, and there's no need for that, because we have such a complete arrangement.
That's a very nice point. I've always taken that statement as very significant. And to whatever, I mean, at least I'm still, you know, kicking, shall we say, in the movement. But I attribute a lot of that to the fact that I believe when Prabhupada said that, if they say one word different, then you'll all be confused. I really believe it completely, because I know how hard it is to carry on. And we see how many devotees have even with Prabhupada's, you know, perfect teachings, our tendency is to become confused. What to speak of when we get some other instruction which apparently seems like a contradiction. That's all we need, is some more apparent contradictions. We have enough apparent contradictions without bringing in more apparent contradictions. Why 16 rounds? Why not 64 rounds? Why not this number? Yes, I wonder why. I wonder what that means. I wonder what the inner meaning of the higher... It must be a contradiction. It must... Oh boy, you know, then we just get lost. So we don't need any more apparent contradictions. And if we have faith, the Prabhupada was not just being humble, and he wasn't being proud either when he said that, but he was being what he always is, right on target. They speak one word different, you'll become confused. So therefore, let's be satisfied with what we've got. Let's not be restless looking for something else. We've got Krishna. What do you need a different Krishna? You've got Krishna, the real Radha, the real Lord Chaitanya, the real Nityananda. That's what you want, isn't it? We're here to get Krishna. It's not that we're here to get some esoteric method. You know, that's what the Gyanis are all interested in, going on for thousands of years without, they're looking for different paths, but they're not really looking for the goal. They say, well, here's Radha Krishna. No, I'm not interested in Radha Krishna. I just want the path. I just want to, you know, the system. I want the method. They're looking for all different, but they don't know what they're looking for. So if you don't know what you're looking for, then you just keep trying different paths. You know, as many paths, as many ways. But if you know what you're looking for, Radha Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada is giving us the express train, you know, to Radha Krishna, to Lord Chaitanya, then if you know where you want to go, you're on the right train. Don't try to jump off while it's going. It's very dangerous. All right. So thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.